All right, would you open up to Luke chapter 13? Luke 13, verses 18 through 20. This is Jesus speaking. He was saying, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall we compare it? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and he threw into his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." And this is the way Jesus would have paused and just looked at people, like, "Don't you get it?" Right? And then when he was satisfied that people were completely confused, he would move on. And again, he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 peck measures of flour until it was all leavened." Amen. In the School of Ministry this week, we study the Proverbs on a regular basis. We actually start every class that I teach out by the students, they rewrite Proverbs during the week. And it's an exercise that actually trains people how to think differently. And it's terrific, and we see a ton of fruit out of it. Well, one of the Proverbs this week was concerning those who would see someone who is staggering to their death and know about it and do nothing, and how we were to make sure that people aren't staggering to their death, how we were to do something about it, that there is a type of judgment for those who refuse to acknowledge, "Oh, I see someone is on their way to death. I see it, but I'm not going to do anything about it." And our call is to step in the way of that and rescue them from the flames of hell, rescue them from really, really terrible decisions. Have you ever known someone that's about to make a decision and you go, "You know, this is going to actually set them back 20 years. This is going to ruin their life." Okay, did you say something to them? Because this proverb is for you. There's these moments in life where we go, we know we're supposed to do something. And the students and I this week, we talked about, okay, when we are talking about preaching the gospel, because let's just use this illustration to talk about people that are going to perish and go to hell. Okay, this is a church that believes in that, by the way. That to know the Lord and to part from this earth is to be at home with him. But to know the Lord, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that there is a judgment. And if you do not know Jesus, if your sins have not been paid for by someone else, you will pay for them. Simple as that. So when we're talking about people who are staggering unto death, what we're really talking about here is do something to communicate the truth of the good news of the kingdom to them. Are you with me here? I grew up in a church that was, it's a Baptist church. My father's church, great. I learned the fundamentals of the gospel of salvation. That word gospel literally means good news. And I learned the fundamentals of the good news of salvation. Basically, hey, if you have sin and you're going to hell, you can be saved. That's pretty good news. You should look at your neighbor and say, "That's some good news. You ought to pay attention to that." It is. It's really good news. As a believer, I began to walk with the Lord, and then I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit that I didn't know how to fit into the rest of my world. Because I was saved since I was like 4 years old and grew up the gospel of salvation. And every message every week was either about learning how to study your Bible, you can be forgiven, and all the different variations of how you can be forgiven, or you must be saved. You know, and I had years and years and years of this. I'm so thankful for it. I honor my root system for sure. But the problem was is that then I went to a church service where they believed in a book of the Bible that I had not been taught out of before, the book of Acts. Some of you are laughing because you're like, oh, I know what this is. So I realized I don't think I had ever heard any sermons out of the book of Acts, as if we should just ignore that book. And so I'm hearing preaching out of the book of Acts, and then I'm seeing the very things that are written about in the book of Acts happening in front of me. I end up getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now I am living with an encounter that is not acknowledged by my home church. And there's some tension here, right? And what my experience would be is that from that place, the Lord would launch me into experiencing other churches where I was hearing this message of the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. I had grown up listening to the good news of salvation, and now I start hearing this message on the kingdom, and as I'm reading my Bible, I realize, sheesh, this is all Jesus talks about. In fact, I'm struggling even to find where he preaches salvation. I think there's like one, maybe two references in the Gospels of Jesus even mentioning salvation, but it's on every stinking page, the kingdom. And every time you turn around and Jesus is telling a story, he's like, hey, the kingdom is like. And so this is alarming to me. Because I recognize, wait a second, I have learned the fundamentals of a gospel that's like 1/90th of the preaching of Jesus. And it's not to bang on or to downplay my upbringing. I value it greatly. In fact, the 70s and 80s, without that, we wouldn't even have what we have today, because most of the people that are preaching the kingdom all got saved during that time. Like the Jesus People movement, the charismatic renewal, we didn't know any better. It was like, get saved, get the Holy Ghost, and that's it. Right? Get them baptized, we're in, right? And then we went into the glory days of the church. Not really. Really the graveyard days of the church, the 1980s, where we built giant buildings and cathedrals unto preachers. Weird time of history. And we're coming out of that, thank goodness. We're coming out of that into this grassroots movement of people are preaching the kingdom. They're preaching the kingdom. Now, hopefully you can see this. This is what? Tree. Can you see the tree? You guys able to see it? I have no idea where the glare is at. Sorry. Okay, this is a tree. This is a fruit-bearing tree. This tree is representing the kingdom. This tree is representing the aspects of the kingdom. It has fruit. It has nourishment. It's mature. Are you with me here? Okay. This right here. Is a seed. Everyone say seed. Let's just call this an apple tree. Apple tree, apple seed. Okay? The tree, the apple tree, bears fruit. It has maturity. It does all these things. It's awesome. It's a beautiful thing. We eat of its fruit. We're nourished. It's really, we love every aspect of the tree. The seed, if you eat it, is somewhat bitter and kind of gross. It's like eating bark of a tree. You ever eaten apple seeds? You know, I know you've swallowed apple seeds, but you ever chewed them up? This is not a good experience. There's nothing like the fruit of the apple. It's this bitter thing, right? If you eat the seed, it doesn't nourish you the way you eat the apple. Is this a true statement here? I know we're deep, really deep. In this seed is the exact same DNA as this tree. Every aspect of what this tree will become is in that seed. You have no idea what you're agreeing to right now. You have no idea what you're agreeing to right now. Every, everyone say every. Every aspect of this tree and all that it would become, the fullness is in that seed. When we talk about preaching the good news of the kingdom, even preaching the good news of salvation, let me ask you a question. How much easier is it to plant a seed versus plant an entire tree that's mature? Okay, when you go to plant apple trees, let me put it in this terms, ready? He spoke many things to them in parables, and he said, this is Matthew 13, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell beside the road. The birds came and ate them up. Others fell among rocky places where they didn't have much soil. So immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Others fell on good soil." Everyone say good soil. "And it yielded a crop, some hundredfold, 60-fold, 30-fold. He who has ears, let him hear." When you go out to sow the good news, do you sow trees? No, you sow seeds. What is the gospel of the kingdom? What is the gospel of the kingdom? What is the good news of the kingdom? See, depending on how you answer this question, I can guarantee this is how your evangelistic conversations go. See, because I remember a day, this is how I was trained to share the gospel, is that what I would do is I would present all of the theological claims of the writings of Paul to convince them that they're a sinner in desperate need of salvation. Right? And I would walk through passage after passage after passage, right, to try to explain to them what salvation is and what they need. And often we use follow-up information even in those moments. That is not a seed. It's not a seed. What is a seed? What's the seed of the good news of the kingdom? Well, let's just look at how Jesus did it. Okay, he gets up and he's like, "To what can I compare the kingdom?" Okay, he's about to say some good news concerning the kingdom. What's he do? Tells him a little story. It's like a mustard seed. It gets thrown in a field. It grows up into a tree, and the birds can rest there. Okay, that was a seed. No, I know it's a seed because what the heck did he just say? What are you talking about, Jesus? Now, I know that we can draw, conclusions based on our knowledge of the scriptures and little comparisons we do in historical facts and all that kind of stuff, and then you go to the store and you look at the mustard seeds, or maybe you have seen the plant and, you look through it and we go and Google the images of what the mustard tree looks like. And we do all this stuff to kind of try to come up with some sort of understanding of it. But Jesus just meant it at face value. He's like, "Hey, this is what the kingdom's like. It's a seed this big. It's the smallest thing you can possibly imagine. But if it gets into some soil, it will create its own ecosystem." End of story. He's like, "Hey, it's a seed. This is the kingdom. Throw it in the ground, and it's going to produce in its own ecosystem." What else can we compare it to? The kingdom, it's like some yeast. You take some yeast, you put it in some flour, and it leavens the whole thing. How big is yeast?
Leaven.
It's tiny. It is tiny. But what's the promise of it? Just get the seed in the ground. Huge returns. It will leaven the whole thing. Okay. You have no idea what you're agreeing to right now, I'm telling you. The sower goes out to sow seed. Okay, we haven't identified what the seed is yet. Don't worry, we'll get to it. Jesus says, hey, there's all these different kinds of grounds. Like the soil, the heart condition. Right? There's people with different heart conditions. Like the soil of their heart, you know, either it's got greed and issues with money, and so it's going to be choked out of fruitfulness, or it's got wrong ways of thinking, strongholds, like things that actually are going to prevent them from moving forward. You know, rocky places in the soil. Like you have a belief system that actually undermines what God's trying to do with you. So you keep hearing the word, but then it keeps getting undermined. It's like, what in the world's going on? Right? But you don't even realize that your own thinking is actually undermining it. The soil of your heart. Right? Or it's hardened and you're like, I don't want to hear that. Forget it. Did you notice how the sower was not discriminating where he sowed the seed? He wasn't predetermining, oh, that looks like good soil. You know when I got saved? My worst moment. My worst moment. Wasn't that my best moment? If you would have come up to me, in fact, I had recently, see, I totally backslid in high school, and I just was a hellion. I caused my parents so much pain. You know, I'm 17 years old. I'm sitting in first hour of my senior year. It's economics. Melanie Ost is the teacher's name. I know all this because of the encounter I had in her class. Well, by the way, she's a believer and was one of the youth workers in our church. I put away a six-pack of beer and smoked a joint before school. Am I in my best moment? No, I'm in a rough way. Economics. In that state, you can only imagine. I'm in a rough way. At that moment, if you would have asked any of my youth pastors or whatever, is this soil you want to keep sowing into? I had already been through the ringer telling them off. I had already said, take off, like, in not kind words. There's no way that someone's looking at me and going, oh, that one's ripe for harvest. Come on, you can't tell from the outside of somebody where they're at. You have no idea. I was moments away from complete breakdown in Jesus himself meeting me. And I'm in the worst condition of my situation. The Lord met me. I got saved that day. Radically saved. Instantly sober. I mean, God, boom. You can't tell the condition of the soil before you sow. You have no idea. Please do not write people off. You think that uncle of yours is so hardened, or whoever in your family, you think they're just like, forget it. There's no reason to talk to them about the good news. There's no reason. They've heard it 1,000 times. They've totally, you know, they're just so hardened and blah, blah, blah. You can't tell. The sower is not supposed to be discriminant about where he sows the seed. Do you know what the promise of the seed being sown is? I love this. In biblical times, the sower would go out and sow seed into the field, and then the plowman would come after the seed to push the seed into the ground. Okay, this is the story Jesus is telling. He's like, hey, this is what it's like. Sower goes out to sow seed, and the plow's on its way. It's not my job to try to plow or to force something to happen. That's God's deal, and he's great at it. He's really, really good at bringing people to their knees. Like, you don't got to worry about that. You don't got to push people. Please don't try to intellectually convince people into the kingdom. Because the first intellectual argument that they agree with on the outside of the kingdom, they're going to buy into that. And now, were they saved, not saved? Oh, no, they've rejected Christ. No, I don't know if they ever got him. It's not your brain that makes you saved. It's faith. The plowman's on the way. You don't know what the condition of the soil. You know what's going to happen. You're just responsible to sow the seed. So what is the seed of the kingdom? This is Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord God has anointed me to bring good news, the gospel. Okay, this is Jesus quotes this verse at the beginning of his ministry. He goes, hey, this is what my ministry is. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Have you ever known someone who's afflicted? Have you ever been afflicted? What's good news when you're afflicted? Okay, let's just say that, well, talk to me. I broke my back. You guys saw the conversation about that. I broke my back. I'm in a tremendous amount of pain. I have very little options. I've lost function in my right leg, like nerve damage, gone, right? Foot drop, it's a bad deal. They have to do emergency surgery on me. I'm not in a great position. We just planted the church. I have nobody to fill in for me. My family is completely dependent on, you know, this thing having some sort of life to it. We left everything in order to, by faith, step into this. And the first thing that happens to me is I get taken out of the race. Like a whole year of my life gone. Whole year of my children's life. I can't play with them. I can't do anything. You think I'm in a great position there? You tell me, what's good news to someone who is being afflicted? Come on, I'm in pain. Don't talk to me about the prosperity gospel and how you can get rich. I could give a rip. I'm in pain. Don't talk to me about how Jesus will set you free from demons. Awesome. That's great news for someone who has a demon. I don't have a demon. I have a broken back. What's good news to the afflicted? Right? Whatever is afflicting them, that it can be reversed, that there's hope, that you speak to the situation. He's going to set prisoners free. He's going to bind up the brokenhearted. He's going to give liberty to captives. See, this is good news to those people who are in that situation. So what's the good news of the kingdom? This is what the kingdom is like. If you're in debt, can I just tell you what the kingdom's like? The kingdom's like this. There's a man who finds a treasure in a field. And he goes and he sells all that he has left to buy that field. That's what the kingdom's like. If you're in debt, that's what it's like. You're holding on to what ain't provided in the first place. You might as well let it all go and buy fully in. If you're struggling with self-esteem or value, let me tell you what the kingdom's like. It's a lot like a pearl merchant who has looked at what's valuable his whole life, but then he finds the pearl of great price. He sells all his possessions, and he goes and buys that pearl. The one pearl, it gives rid of everything. Listen, if you're trying to find value in all the little things of the world, trying to work your way into it. You're trying to, you know, find value in what you can produce at work. Find value in relationships. Find value out of your spouse. Find value out of whatever it is that you can do with your life. Can I just tell you, it's not going to add up until you sell it all, let it all go, and buy the one pearl. This is what the kingdom's like. Like, if you let it go and you buy in there, everything gets answered. It's all there. The fullness is there. That's what the kingdom is like. Are you with me here? Do you see how me telling you a little story that relates to your circumstance, how it all of a sudden unlocks something? This is Jesus. Modern language. Here's the commission to the disciples. Are you guys okay?
Would you tell me if he weren't? Probably not.
So Jesus is going to send out the 70 to preach the kingdom. And he gives them instructions. He says, I want you to go and you're going to speak peace. You're going to minister to what you find. If it's a man or a woman of peace, then that peace will go from you, will rest on them. Then you're going to eat whatever they put in front of you. And then you're going to say, after they've been healed, the kingdom has come near you today. Okay? Luke 10. This is Jesus' instructions to the 70. Okay, can I give you a modern version of that? Because if you go out and you're like, you walk into your neighbor's house, peace to this house. And then you look to see if your peace has gone from you to rest on your neighbor. What you're going to find is a question mark on his forehead. What is thou sayest to meest? Because peace to this household has no context. See, if you were a Jewish person living in Israel and you said shalom to this household, it has a whole world of context to it. They get it. That's a part of the greeting. It's a part of life exchange. Okay, if you go to your neighbor and you do that, right? Shuts the door in your face. What would be a modern version of that? How about, hey, dude, what's up? How about, where are you at? To give someone your greeting and to recognize whether their atmosphere changes is something completely different than peace. The whole point is that the atmosphere around them changed because you came there and you greeted, you did life exchange with them. And when you did life exchange with them, something changed. They became open. See, and then it says, minister to them, minister to their felt needs. Hey, what's going on? Like if you find sickness there, heal the sickness. If you find disease there, heal the disease. If you find them demonized, cast the devil out. You know, whatever's going on, just do that. Okay, if you're like, hey, are you diseased? Do you have a demon? This doesn't translate. However, what does translate is, hey, what's going on? Is there something that I can pray for? You know, you do life exchange, they open up to you, and then it's normal. Hello? This should be normal life exchange, right? And then you minister to them, and you know what is a phenomenon? It happens, and I can tell you, actually, Matt was drumming for me tonight. I'll tell this story. They decided, this phenomenon happens, okay? When you minister to someone who is lost, and something of value comes into their life, they don't know what to do with that. The automatic response is to try to give you something in return. Right? And so Jesus is like, eat what's ever put before you. Like, I don't want you to have any crisis of conscience in this moment because you're now sowing the good news. Right? And so they go out and they do this and they, you know, they give away, they're healing people, they're doing all this stuff, and then people start giving stuff to them. Okay, so we send a team to Ireland. From here, a bunch of young people, we send them to Ireland with Jim and Jan Keen. And they go and they decide they're gonna play a game on the airplane over. They're gonna play the word of knowledge game. Right? And so they're just gonna start getting words of knowledge for all the stewards. Like the flight attendants. Okay? So they start getting words of knowledge, right? And this person ends up radically touched by God. They're just playing a game. They're just messing with, you know, they're prophesying over them. They're whatever, right? Okay. What is a value that a flight attendant has that most people on an airplane want? Booze. They get off the plane and she looks around and hands them a sack of liquor. Little bottles of liquor. The kingdom has come near to you today. This actually happens. What's the good news? Whatever contains the seed of this question: what's the kingdom like? What's the kingdom like? When we say that to someone, a stranger, someone doesn't know the Lord, what's the kingdom like? There's no context for that. Again, in Israel, there was a total context. They're all waiting for the Messiah, and they're expecting him to bring a kingdom. So he's trying to re-explain to them what this kingdom would be like. So there's total context for his disciples to be like, hey, the kingdom's come near to you today, because that would have radically changed how they thought about the kingdom. Because they're expecting this conquering force to throw Rome out of their country, and instead someone gets healed, and they're like, that was the kingdom. Do you see how then maybe in their culture in that time frame, that makes perfect sense? But if you do that today, if you stand up and you're like, what shall we compare the kingdom to? And people are like, the kingdom of like Lord of the Rings, the kingdom of some online game you're playing, you know, your Minecraft world. What are we talking about here? The kingdom. There's no context. We know what that means. We're saying to people, hey, this is what God's like. This is what he's like. And now if you say, this is what he's like, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 2:11, Revelation 3:20. This is what God's like. He's like a book of strange words that make no sense to people. Hello? Quit trying to plant a tree. What's God like? I'll tell you what he's like. A couple weeks ago, we did this this time of ministry where I really felt like we were supposed to pray for people's hearts, people's ears, people's eyes, and just go after that stuff, right? The physical and the spiritual side of things. And how many were here for that? Okay, so you remember that. Right, Dave Hauer, who's one of our pastoral elders here, he gets healed of tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears. This is not something reversible. The Lord did a miracle right there, like total miracle, right? And so we had some of the people stand up like that got healed or touched, you know, and give testimony, right? And then we move on to the next one, and you know, we had testimonies and people getting touched in almost every area, except for I didn't see as much breakthrough as I thought I would see with eyes. Like people's eyes getting healed. I just knew the Lord's going to heal people's eyes. But then we're like, people are taking their glasses off and stuff, and I saw them squinting around and putting their glasses back on. I'm like, dang it. Like, come on. Like, we get ears healed. We get heart conditions healed. Like, hello, eyes. So we go away, and I'm not like terribly discouraged or anything like that. I don't live in those kind of situations. And so I just move on with my life. Well, I have Sarah Johnson. Josh and Sarah are dear friends of us. Sarah was working in the nursery. And she teaches the little girls in the nursery how to dance. And she uses this, she has a little bin of veils. So you've seen some of the dancers up here, they're using these big veils. Well, she has a bunch of little ones that are painted much like the bright colors and stuff. And she teaches the kids how to do this, right? Well, she's got her bin of veils, and she goes and she takes them out and she looks at them and she realizes somebody has like messed with their veils, painted them. And she's like, oh, man. She pulls the one out, and she's looking at it, and she's like, oh, my goodness. Like, whoever did this is really good at painting because they, like, messed the color scheme totally up. But they're, like, bright and vibrant. She's looking at the other ones, and they're all like this. And she's just standing there like this, and she looks at someone else that's working with her. Maybe it was one of you. I don't know. And she's like, isn't this amazing? Like, do you see this? And they're like, what are you talking about, Sarah? The same veils you use every week. She was colorblind before. She was colorblind, and she got healed of colorblindness. She wasn't in the room. She didn't get prayed for. In fact, she didn't even know about it until she listened to the podcast the following week. Because we went after colorblindness. We actually prayed for that. And here she is. She's one of the ricochet healings. I guess it got out in the hallway. Someone must have opened the door or something. And okay, just pause. Think about this. That is what the kingdom's like. I just preached the gospel to you.
I just said to you, this is what your God is like. This is what your Father is like. This is what the kingdom is like. This is what heaven is like. This is what kingdom does. This is what God does when he gets in a situation. I just said all of that stuff. I said the substance of the apple tree in a small story. A seed. This is what Jesus did. He would tell stories in the forms of seeds, pieces. The DNA is the same. He would express it like this, and then he would demonstrate the reality of it. And which comes first, the demonstration or the preaching? It doesn't matter. Heal people first and then explain it to them, or explain it to them and then heal them. It doesn't really matter. Every testimony that you have is a seed of the kingdom. Every testimony. Every time God does something, it is a seed. Every time you hear about God doing something in someone else's life, it is a seed. And this is the deal. If you would become a storyteller, then you're going to see a whole bunch of people get saved. If you'll become a storyteller, we don't need any more preachers. How effective is standing on a street corner screaming at people? In today's moment in history, we require something different than we have seen in the past. The storytellers are the ones that are making traction. It's the people that are making movies that are influencing the world. It is the people that are writing books that influence the world, writing songs in story form. They're the ones that are actually changing the planet right now. Do you know how many stories of who God is and what he's done that you have heard in your lifetime? Tons. You have a bag of seed. It's not up to you to be discriminant about where you tell your stories, but I am telling you, if you begin to be a storyteller, everybody loves a storyteller. Everyone loves a storyteller. Not everybody loves it when you beat them over the head with your Bible, but everybody loves a storyteller. Come on, stand around the water cooler and start telling miracle stories. Come on, stand around your cubicle, take a break, whatever, start telling stories. You don't gotta preach. Just share stories. You're sowing seed. My family, you know, I have a sister, natural born, my blood sister, and I have two brothers that are adopted, and I have two twin sisters that are adopted. And my wife and I, we would share stories with them. We didn't preach at them because, you know, they similar pattern where they, when they got old enough to start making decisions, they started rebelling against the church and against, and for the most part, they've come back. But some are still scarred by it. But the process, though, of winning their hearts again was always in the story. It's always in the story. It wasn't about, you're wrong because this verse says this. No, it was like, hey, when I was your age, this happened to me. What do you think? It was always in the story, or we would have a dream, we'd share, like, it'd always be a nugget. It was a seed. We didn't try to convince them of anything, because this is what you need to, the whole thing tonight is, listen, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. If you get it in, it's going to leaven the whole thing. If somebody drinks in a story, now, you can't determine the condition of their heart. You don't know where they're at. But the plow's coming. Okay? If you can get a seed in there, you may not be the one to see them get saved. It may take years and years and years. But I'm telling you, the seed of the kingdom is like leaven, and once it gets in, it's going to end up leavening. It's going to mess their world up. What's good news to someone who's being afflicted? A story that fits where they're at. When you hear a testimony, and this is what I'll close with this. When you hear a testimony, we need to change. This has got to be something we embrace as a culture. We need to, when we hear testimonies, pay attention
it is like little chunks of heaven. The stories themselves are more valuable than we're treating it right now. The stories are little seeds that say what God is like. They're chunks of heaven. If we'll begin to value the stories, like, hear me, please. If you'll value the story, when you hear someone share a story, jot some notes down. Like, intentionally try to, like, remember it. You know, there's cards in the back of seats, or at least there used to be. I don't know if there is anymore. I haven't been in the back of a seat in a while, actually. But I know I don't sit there. There's not a seat in front of me. So, but there's cards in the back of seats that on one side is like prayer requests, on the other side is it's testimonies. Like, when you have a testimony, share it. There's a form on the website that you can click and you can fill out the testimony so that people know about it. We need to be broadcasting this stuff. We need to value it. We need to be gathering the seed intentionally, finding ways so that, because every time you hear a story, you can guarantee that God's going to bring someone across your path, probably that week, that needs that story. If you'll value it, the angels will set the appointment up. If you'll value it, you'll get the divine appointment. Seed planters, tree planters. Nothing wrong with planting trees, but it requires a ton of machinery to do that. Large programmatic things in order to put trees into people. Feel free to draw all the conclusions you want off of that one. The kingdom is a lot like a mustard seed, though. Just get it in the ground. Are you with me tonight? Okay, would you guys jump to your feet? The word testimony literally means do it again. It means do it again. When you share a story, you are literally prophesying over someone. Oh, by the way, God's going to do this for you. And by the time they realize that they just swallowed a seed, the plow's on the way. Lord, I pray that you would give us a grace for storytelling. Lord, I pray for the... anyone. Okay, I want you just to lift your hands right now if you are called to write books, you're called to make movies, you're called to tell stories in some form or fashion. You feel like that's something in you. That's you. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for that call that's obviously on this church. Lord, we bless it. We bless the storytellers. We bless them. We bless the writers, the screenplay writers. We bless those who are going to write plays. We bless those, Lord God, who are going to put down, Lord, for others to run with, Lord, the visions and the stories, God, that you give to people, Lord, so that other people can be impacted by it. God, we thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the movies that are coming out, the songs that are coming out of this, Lord, the novels that are going to be written that are going to plant the seed of the kingdom, Lord, across this generation. So, Lord, I bless them tonight. And Father, I just thank you for the rest of us, Lord. You're called to tell stories too. You can't get out of it, sorry. God, give us grace. Give us grace. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the salvation of our families, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to remember. Give us a supernatural, Lord, connection with stories, Lord, as they come to us. The testimonies of all that you've done. This is what the kingdom is like. God, that we'd be able to be faithful with what you've given us, Lord. We pray these things right now in Jesus' mighty name.